Good evening. I want to say that I appreciate the good encouraging comments. It really helps. It really builds one up. I thank you for it. This morning we talked about, are you listening? Richard refuses to put the RU in front of it. I don't know why. You all listened. You're back. A lot. Let it go in one ear and out the other. And that's a shame. Not because I was speaking, but because that's what God's Word said. Unless we're faithful, not only in our lives, but faithful service, faithful worshipers to God, we'll never see heaven. I don't know why people think they can get there without being that way. But we have a lot that think that way. They substituted tonight, and I said that our lesson tonight would be no substitutions. Well, that's not altogether correct. You can have substitutes, just not in religion. I love a good basketball game. Used to watch the Celtics play, L.A. play, Magic Johnson, the ones on the Celtics. They had a sixth man that would come in. And that sixth man, when he came in to substitute, he would tear it up. You can have a substitute in the basketball game. When you go out for a meal and say they have a regular meal plan, or special, you can ask the waitress, can I substitute these green beans for corn on the cob? You can substitute. If you have gone to school, which most of us have, at one time or another, you have had a substitute teacher, no doubt. You can substitute that way. But in the Word of God, there are no substitutions. It's like it is. It's what it is. It's what it's going to be. But in today's world, when it comes to religion, people often like substitutions, don't they? When it comes to God's will for our lives, we sometimes do our desires, our ways, over His way. As a result of this, many have made substitutions in the way that God has arranged things. In other words, God has made it one way, but the people have decided, no, we don't like it that way. Let's substitute something for that and make it this way. And still call it God's will. Well, that's not going to fly. Tonight we want to consider Jeroboam. And it wasn't so long ago in Sunday morning class that we talked about Jeroboam. He did not want Israel reuniting with Judah. So he started his own religion to replace God. Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 30, this became sin. You see, when we start doing things that are not according to God, it's sin. And that's what Jeroboam was doing. He did it his way and not God's way. So tonight we want to look at the substitutions that Jeroboam made and what lessons we can learn from them. Jeroboam, he substituted the place of worship. Instead of having the people returning to the temple at Jerusalem, where the place of worship was, 1 Kings 12:32, Jeroboam made two golden calves. And he set one in Bethel, and he put the other in Dan. Verse number 28. He said, behold, talking to Israel, thy gods. These two golden calves are now your gods, O Israel. And he said, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt? I'm standing here talking about this, and I'm thinking about the Israelites. All that God had done for them up to this point. And you have a man that molds two golden calves, and he tells the Israelites that this is what brought you out of Egypt. This now is your God. How can they believe that? How can you be sucked into something like that? Don't know. But it's all over the world today. It's rampant in the world today. People are making things up and calling it religion. He changed the place and the object. Today, men have replaced the Lord's church. We find in Matthew 16:18 that he only built one, and it's his. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They have replaced it with denominationalism, cultism, spiritualism, and any other kind of ism that you can think of. But there's only one church over which Jesus is head and of which he is the Savior. We can go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It's clear. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, him meaning Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body. Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We know that the church was purchased with his blood, Acts 20:28. Jesus did not shed his blood and die for any substitute. He did not tell us anywhere in his word, if you do not like the church that I built, you substitute. You go somewhere else. No, he didn't tell us that. If you recall, God had ordained the sons of Aaron and the other Levites as priests. Jeroboam substituted the priest, the priesthood. Exodus 28:40-41 and Leviticus chapter 8, God ordained Aaron and his sons as priests. Jeroboam wanted things his way. He consecrated anyone who wished to be a priest from every class of people. 1 Kings 13, 33 and 34. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again the lowest of the people priest of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests in the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Jeroboam didn't care what God said. You do, because you're back tonight. I have a definition of high places. It's taken from Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Elevated or hilltop sites dedicated to worship of pagan gods. Most of the Old Testament references to the high places imply a form of pagan worship forbidden to the Israelites. But sometimes the Lord's people, with His approval, worship Him at elevated altars. For an example, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. At nearby Gibeon, there was a high place during the reign of David. The tabernacle was there. You'll find that in 1 Chronicles 16:39, 1 Chronicles 21:29, also 2 Chronicles 1, 3, and 4. I want us to note that this is where Solomon had his dream and asked God for wisdom. 1 Kings 3, 4 through 15. After this early period in Israel's history, all high places mentioned in the Bible were off limits to God's people. In Leviticus 26, verse number 30, God promised to destroy the high places, but He knew His people would build back. God says, don't do it. They'll be destroyed, but He knew His people would build back. There is a priesthood in the New Testament church, but it's not the Pope. It's not cardinals, bishops, and priests of Catholicism. Nor is it the clergy of any other religious organization. Tonight, if you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, it's you. You are the priest. We find these words in 1 Peter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're a priest. You've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. There are no other priests. As priests, we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse number 5. Jesus, our high priest. He has all power. Matthew 28, 18. He is the only head of the church. Colossians 1, verse number 18. In Matthew 28, 18, He was speaking to His disciples. And He said, there, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. All power had been given to no other man. He is the head of the body, the church. In 1 Timothy 2, verse number 5, the one mediator between God and man. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So as a Christian child of God, let us appreciate our responsibility we have as Christians and put away, listen to it, put away our substitutions. Put away our substitutions. Jeroboam substituted the object of worship. Just as Aaron fashioned the golden calf for the children of Israel, after which they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Exodus 32. Substituted the object of worship. In 1 Kings 12, 28 and 29, Jeroboam made two golden calves. And he told Israel, "These were the ones that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And they believed him. He set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Did you know that there are those today who still bow before images and statues? Others worship men or women, such as Mary, the mother of Jesus, or the Pope, who is just a man. He has no power on earth to save. Matthew 28:18 takes care of that. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10, Jesus here is speaking to Satan, and he says this, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." God only. In Acts chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, "And when Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him," worshiped Peter. Peter knew this was wrong. He knew this wasn't right. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I am just a man also. I am also a man." When it comes to image or idolatry worship, it's condemned. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And let's look at verses 20 through 25. Romans 1, 20 through 25. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the Creator more than the worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." This kind of sounds a whole lot to me like the times of Jeroboam. And of course, this same thing is going on today. They're worshiping the creature instead of the Creator. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 21, John says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Whenever we put our desires above God's, then we have substituted the true and only worthy object of worship. Matthew 6, verse number 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Jeroboam even substituted the pattern of worship. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 32, "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month." This was like the Feast of Judah. It was close. Just like a lot of religious people today are close to what God wants, but they're not there. They've substituted. But on the same day and month that God had ordained, this is what God ordained in Leviticus 23:33-35. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," he told Moses, "this is what I want. He said, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this month, of the 7th month, shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein." But what he done, he devised in his own heart. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 33. It was important to follow the pattern of God. He gave in Exodus 25, verse number 9, concerning the tabernacle. And more so today in regards to the new and better covenant of Christ. Hebrews chapter 8. Verses 5 and 6. Well, the bottom line is this. You and I are not at liberty to change any part of God's pattern of worship. But today, God's pattern doesn't seem to matter anymore. Men have taken unlawful liberties and change God's pattern to suit themselves. They have devised different baptisms and even taken baptisms out of the pattern. But as it is taught in the New Testament, there is only one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5. "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." It's authorized only by Christ. Matthew 28:18-20. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That's Christ's words. The one who died on the cross and shed his blood. He spoke that. Baptism is a burial in water. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. and look at verses 3 through 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Also we read from Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12. It says, buried with Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. We're buried like he was. We're raised like he was. It's for the remission of sin. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Also we find in Acts chapter 22, verse number 16, this one alone should nail it for anybody thinking about baptism. Ananias was talking to Saul, and he said, and why now tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. As you've heard many times before, that is how you call on the name of the Lord, by being obedient to his will. Only in obeying this form of doctrine, this pattern, can one be set free from sin. Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You see, when you obey, you become free. Then you become the servants of righteousness. In the first century church, they came together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. Acts 20, verse number 7, and 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. But men today have changed the day and the frequency, taken away from God's pattern. Man has added to the pattern of worship mechanical instruments of music. Singing is the only kind of music ever authorized by God for the New Testament church. Listen to Ephesians 5, verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Where in that verse did you hear the word playing? What about Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If the word of Christ dwells in you richly, then you're going to do what Christ says to do. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Man has changed the way the church is financed today. Things such as car washes, rummage sales, spaghetti suppers, and on to raise money. These substitutes are not according to the pattern of God. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Nothing said about all these other things that are being done to raise money in his name. If any religion substitutes one thing that God has not authorized, it is a false religion and becomes vain because it has not had its origin. It's had its origin with man and not with God. We must not change God's way for our own way. Deuteronomy 4, verse number 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. 2 John verse number 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Substitutes will not be recognized. On the day of judgment, what are you going to tell the Lord? The reasons that you did not do his will. The reasons that you substituted for evening worship. You didn't come to Bible class because you had something else to do. What are you going to say? You're going to say, Lord, I substituted for that. I thought it would be okay. No. Nothing else will do but what he said to do. Be in obedience to his will. Be a faithful child of God unto death. Be what you said you was going to be when you obeyed the gospel. Be a Christian. Be a faithful Christian. Tonight, if you're here and this has moved you in any way, we bid you to come and obey the gospel. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By believing, Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By repenting of sins, we use this verse this morning, Luke 13:3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And also in Luke 13:5. You need to confess Jesus before men. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But Matthew 10:33 says, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then be baptized for remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Acts 22:16. Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21, Galatians 3:26-27. It's in there, folks. It's there. And then after you have obeyed the gospel, remain faithful and true. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Are you ready? If you are, come while we stand and sing.